1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That is not correct. Chapter 12 is where we're going to turn to. Sorry. Now, friends, I must deal with what I'm going to talk about this morning. And this is not my favorite sermon. But I have to talk about it because we're dealing this week, next week, the previous 2 weeks with a subject, look at me, please, of experience. I remember when I came here to Lake County, and the first person that brought their kids to our Christian school that talked about going to a prophet, and the prophet spoke to them directly the Word of God. Now, you know, that's like, what? So we're dealing with experience, and I'm going to try to do something, and I might not do a good job, so I'm telling you this up front. I'm going to try to thread a needle because I'm not interested in hating on anybody. What I want us to do is to come to grips with the issue of experience. That's it. Because really what some of this is, if you get around certain people and they start talking, you're going to be, well, I never experienced that. So where does Christian experience fit in? We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul's greatest experience. And that's what we're going to deal with. But in order to do that, here's the tough part. Look at me. We must really understand 2 Corinthians 10, 11, 12, and 13 to understand what we're going to read. And that's a lot of scripture. So let's stand together. We will actually begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 5. We will read these verses again a little bit later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13, everyone look at me, please. Paul is dealing with people who thought they were out-apostling the apostle. They had more knowledge of God than the Apostle Paul had. So it's very difficult to understand the whole scheme of this until you understand there is a group that sounded like some charismatics on television that God speaks to every day without the Bible. And I want to say this to you. See, I'm a Baptist, yes, but I'm a Christian first. If you want God to speak to you, read the Bible. If you want God to speak out loud to you, read the Bible out loud. You should never think God is going, listen, why would God say more to you that's in the, if you're ignoring His Bible, His Word, why is He going to speak to you in some other way? He's already spoken. But we're going to look. This is a group. The King James translates it, and it uses like four words to say one. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Paul says, and remember, chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13, he's going after these false apostles. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit, or even a little bit, behind, and here is the phrase, the very chiefest apostles. But he's not talking about Peter, John, and James. And this really chiefest doesn't mean first. It's a word that means, it's hard to say. How do you say it? I think the best way to say it in modern English is they thought they were, look at me please. Here is John, here's Peter, here is James. Here's the people that walk with Jesus and then the Apostle Paul. And then here were these people. They were the super apostles, they thought. Are you with me? By the way, you cannot even read this chapter unless you understand this group. Because we don't know who they are. Paul never mentions their name. But there was a group that thought, they stand up here, even above the people that walk with Jesus. All right, same chapter, verse 11. He's going to explain this group of super apostles. What does he say in verse 11? For such are, what does he say? Verse 11, for such are, 2 Corinthians 11. Did I say 11, 13? 2 Corinthians 11, 13, he says, for such are what? So let's be real clear. These super apostles weren't really truth tellers. They were liars. He goes on to say, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now we need to turn all the way to chapter 12, please. Chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Paul says, I am become a fool in glorying. And that's going to be the key phrase today in the whole sermon. That little word for glorying, which means to glory, brag, boast, or to find pride in, is the key word in the whole book. It's found more than almost the rest of the New Testament together. He says, I'm become a fool in bragging, boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. You should be recommending me. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, this super apostles, though I be nothing as a human. Then he goes on to say, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought or done among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein we are inferior to, or what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? He didn't take money from them. And these false apostles even use that. He says, forgive me this wrong. Now, we're going to look at the text this morning, which we're going to look around this chapters today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. In verse 1, Paul says this, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. And as it stands in English, that is a strange statement. I'll say more in a moment. Please look at me. It is a strange statement in Greek. Here's what he's saying. I need to brag. But it's a weird thing to brag. I got to, but I don't want to. When you read it, it's like convoluted. Well, it is convoluted because Paul doesn't want to brag, but he's going to. So he goes on to say this, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. By the way, Paul was an apostle. As the apostles, they spent time with Christ. They also received direct revelation. We now call that the Bible, the New Testament. He says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, or I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, same as the third heaven, otherwise into the very presence of God, and heard, listen to this language, unspeakable words, which it is not lawful or appropriate for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, or brag, or boast. Yet of myself I will not brag or boast or glory, but in mine, what's that? Now everyone look at me. 2 Corinthians 10. 11, 12, 13, these whole chapters focus on two words. It keeps beating you over the head. Whatever translation you're reading, It's going to say glorying, boasting, maybe bragging. And then he's going to tell you what he brags about. And what he brags about is not what the super apostles lied about. Their experiences. This is a hard subject because we're not used to thinking this way. So the title this morning is this. And by the time we get to the end, you will have learned one thing. What it is that you should be bragging about. The title is Something to Brag About. If you prefer, Something to Boast About. If you prefer, Something to Be Proud Of. But what is that thing that a Paul, and therefore a Christian, should be proud of? That he went to heaven? Well, that's the question. Father, help me as I try to share very, very simple things on a very difficult subject. Because we have whole groups of people today looking for the new wave of the Spirit, so-called. Whatever the latest strange, weird thing somebody can think up, and they're chasing it. And they think that's the center of the Christian universe, whatever it is, while being missing the very nature of what we should be bragging about or boasting about or finding pride in. Help me this morning to share very simple thoughts. In Christ's name, amen. Something to brag about. Something to brag about. Paul uses a word for all of you that are interested. If you have never been on a Wednesday night Bible study, that's okay. If you never come on a Wednesday night Bible study, that's okay. But I'm going to put all of the references in 2 Corinthians 10, 11, 12, and 13 for two words. One word is the word for bragging, boasting, glorying. And the other word is the word infirmity in the King James. Weakness or infirmities. That's where we're headed. Something to brag about. So I'm a young pastor. I'm pastoring in the town near the town in which I was born. I was born the only one in my family in St. Louis, Missouri, because the circumstance was my mother's health. All the other kids were born in Alton, Illinois. I was born across the river in St. Louis. Mom always said Barnes Hospital. It was part of Barnes Hospital. In those days, it was called St. Louis Maternity Hospital or St. Louis Children's Maternity, something like that. I pastored for 8 years in St. Louis. My first 2 years there, something broke out in St. Louis. It was, among charismatics, a new wave of the Spirit. It had three manifestations. Now, by the way, I'm not angry. There's no anger here. I'm just stating facts. I'm not preaching against anybody today. I want you, when you walk out the door, to say, what does a Christian boast about? What does a Christian brag about? What does a Christian find his deepest pride in? That's all I want you to do. Well, this was part of the laughing revival. Now, if you know anything about Pentecostal charismaticism, they already spoke in tongues. That was ancient history. They already healed. They were getting healed every day. I don't know how many of those people are sick, but it seemed like they're sick all the time getting healed. Number three, they were already slain in the spirit, you know, where people fell down and did weird stuff. But number four was the laughing revival. Now you say, how did this impact us? Well, we didn't have a Christian school. Jenny, you should remember this, because there were friends of our son. Parents were involved in this mess. And the kids would come to school the next day, and the laughing revival was this. You went to a building, of course, with music, of course. Can I say this to everybody? If you remove music, 3 hours of doing this, and you remove people coming together, the charismatic movement disintegrates. It's all about what we do in a congregation, all we do together, where you pump people up. But anyhow, this is what they did. They would come at 6 o'clock, and they would stay all night to sometimes 6 the next morning, singing, turning the lights down, swaying, speaking in tongues, till finally people started laughing. And the sign of revival to them was people laughed uncontrollably. Then it took on one more level. And by the way, I'm not exaggerating at all. This is actually what it was. It was in a, there were several places. It was in Toronto. It was in St. Louis. Then the second new manifestation of the Spirit was people barking like dogs. And you're like, huh? And then roaring like lions. That was the laughing revival that showed us we have the new wave of the Spirit. I remember talking to one of, do you not remember the family? The dad was part of this mess. I remember talking to him. If he would have walked in this service, he would not know what to do because the Bible had nothing to do with his Christianity. His Christianity was whatever the newest fad was. Whatever happened this week, he was in it. Now, friends, we've moved on. We now have people that say they can resurrect the dead. I have a Bible verse, if you ever heard of the Bible. And as it is appointed unto men, you're not resurrecting the dead. There will be a resurrection when the Lord comes back and not before. They're resurrecting the dead. This stuff happened in California at Bethel Church in California. They had newspapers there. They had a little girl that died, and for 4 days, people came declaring in Jesus' name, they're going to raise this kid from the dead. By the way, where is the kid today? Buried. Where is the parents? Look at me. Where are the parents? Divorced. Why? Because you can't live lies very long. Experience. We're going to talk about something, I don't care the language you use, to brag about, boast about, glory in, or find pride in? That's the question. In this whole section, Paul keeps saying the same thing. So, I'm going to tell you what you should be bragging about, and it's going to end up being two things. Let's look, and I'm going to go through this text very quickly this morning. Pastor Warren is not going to try to be deep or long. Look, if you would, to chapter 12, verse 1 again. Four simple ideas from the text, not from a revelation, but from the revelation, the Word of God. Paul says in verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. The ESV, through adding many words, makes sense of this. It says this, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. That's what it's saying. Something that, it's like, I got to do it, but I don't want to do it. So my first point is this. Paul didn't want to brag about his experience. He didn't want to brag about how special he was. He didn't want to tell people about what had happened to him. That's the first rule. Now, do we like to brag? Some people love to brag. Some people like to tell you how much money they give. I remember I got a whole letter. We had a funeral sometime in the last 3 to 5 years. I got a whole letter from a family. I mean, a letter, handwritten, telling us they're going to give us this sum of money. No joke, the sum of money was $25. Why did I need to know? Just put $25, send it in, and we'll send it off to someplace. We like to brag. Paul didn't want to boast, glory, or brag about his own experience. All right, up there in the balcony, you got some slides. By the way, I'm sorry. I got to inject some humor because this sermon is too heavy today. Husbands are the best people to share secrets with. They'll never tell anyone because they aren't listening. That's not about me, of course. That's about other husbands. Next. My kids accuse me of having a favorite child, which is ridiculous because I don't like any of them. My grandbabies are my favorite. Amy, can I have an amen? She already knows. When I call her, I'm not looking to see her or Jared. I want to see the... But here's the joke. Now, don't put it up there yet. this is from the country and I am sorry. This is the funniest thing, and just where I grew up, because I had guys, if you ever, I had broader family members, every time you talk to them, they just caught the biggest fish that got away you've ever seen. Here's two guys who went out fishing. Ade and Young went fishing. Are you guys ready? All right, show the picture. Which one's Ade and which one's Young is what I want to know. Friends, please look at me. Paul, you can get rid of those. I show you that for what reason? We all brag. Please look at me. Cliffy, just leave the lights off. Look at me. I said we all brag. I'll say it again. We all brag. Some of us are very clever at bragging. And some of it's not even wrong. For instance, you go to an old person's house where I'm from, and they have one some kind of piece of furniture that comes four generations back, and they want to show you what their great-great-great-grandmother. My mother gave me something from my great-grandmother. If you want it, I'll give it to you. It's a worthless piece of junk. It's in the garage. I don't know why she gave it to me. But, you know, we all boast in certain things. Is that true? Here's the thing. Paul didn't mind bragging, but he didn't want to brag about his experience. That's the reason in verse 1 he's kind of like, I got to do it, but I don't want to do it. I got to talk about it, but I don't. It isn't going to help. Yes, that's the first point. Number 2, verse 2 of chapter 12, please. So Paul didn't want to brag or boast or glory about his experience. Verse 2, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, I'm going to say more about that in a moment, but the interesting thing is me, not only did Paul didn't want to brag about his experience, listen, Paul hadn't bragged about his experience for 14 years. You know what the most interesting thing about this is, friend? If you read people that think about the Bible, they say, where did this happen? And we don't know, because Paul talked about this experience, look at me, one time, right here. So you say, Pastor Warren, and I'm going to speak not about charismatic stupidity in a church with music. If you told me you were out one day meditating on the scripture and you had some sort of an emotional experience with God, listen, maybe you just uncontrollably laughed, rejoicing in God's goodness. You know what I would say? Praise the Lord. Move on. But what we do is we now have to make that part of religion. Paul had an experience. He didn't want to brag because he didn't think it would help anybody. And secondly, he hadn't bragged for 14 years. We don't even know where this happened. He never mentions it. The rest of his epistles, one time he mentions it 14 years later. Now, we all struggle with this issue. Some people want you to know everything. I still remember Mike Rock. I think Mike Rock was part of this. This was back when Mike Rock, I hate Mike Rock, by the way, just so you all know. Anybody has that much hair at his age is just wrong. But he used to have other color hair. Mike, I remember one time we had a visitor to Lake County in the 70s when I was a young guy. And this was the day and age. He had a $20 bill. He pulled that $20 bill out. And here's what's funny. I was just sitting in the, you know, chairs, and he made sure everybody saw it. I don't know if I can get down there without killing myself. He took that $20. Now, remember, this is the 70s. $20 is worth a little bit more than it is now. He got that $20 bill out. He made sure everybody saw it, a visitor. And then he decided he wanted change. He put the $20 bill in and tried to get change, and all I remember is this. The plate hit the floor, and stuff went every place. So, by the way, I want you to pat me on the back. I'm putting $20 in the offering plate. Some people love to talk about themselves. Can I say this to you? Cliff, Judy, Dave, Nicole are taking a group of our young people to the Southwest. They need $1,000 for each one of those kids. If you have extra money, give. And please shut your mouth and don't tell anybody. Just give. That's what normal people, some people, they like to tell you. Some don't want you to know, which I think is legitimate. Some wants everybody to know. Now, here's my meanness, because I'm a mean person. Some want you to know, they don't want you to know. You had to think about that for a while. I'll say that some want you to know, they don't want you to know. You do. It's just a roundabout way. We like to brag on ourselves. Look what I did. Some get embarrassed if anybody knows. There's people in this room that irritate me. I don't even know how I found out that Emily got her master's degree. But she wasn't going to tell anybody. Emily? By the way, I wanted to brag on her. I didn't care about her bragging. I wanted to brag on her. You say, why? Because that's an accomplishment. Pastor Koch got his. He got his in the wrong way. You say, what way did he do it? He's obsessive. Oh, my goodness. He decided to do this, you know, program that could have taken 10 years in 10 minutes. You know, that's how he got his. Christy did the same. By the way, am I happy? Yes, but let me do the bragging. The super apostles, look at me. Have you never listened to these idiots on television? They have experiences every afternoon. Here's the problem. Paul had an experience 14 years before. He had never talked about it. So here's my first two points. Number one, Paul didn't want to talk about it. Number two, he hadn't talked about it for 14 years and he only talked about it once. Because that wasn't his Christianity. Now we have to get ugly. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 11, please. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 5. I want to read these texts again because the false apostles, these super apostles, as the King Jimmy says, very chiefest apostles, which is a way of saying these people that think they're really special, Paul condemns everything they do. Look at verse 5. And Ade, this is not to you, of course, but you have heard of all this stuff because it comes out of Nigeria, frankly. But it isn't just there. It's in America. It's in every country. And they're described right here. False apostles that, by the way, here's the big three. Lies, abuse, and sin. Lies, abuse. Do you understand abuse? Abuse and sin. Paul describes them. Verse 5, for I suppose I was not a whit, that's old English, not even a little bit behind the very chiefest apostles, the super apostles. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. By the way, I want to be very clear, there are no apostles today. If you're an apostle, you have to have been 2,000 years old. The apostles were all had to be with Jesus and see the resurrection with a total of exactly one exception, a guy by the name of Paul. And even he grew up in that area and was around all of this. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I'm the outlier. So when somebody says, I'm an apostle, it's like, you're not old enough. Were you with Jesus for 3 years? Did you see the resurrection? No. But we'll continue. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, also be transformed, and this is interesting, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Verse 20, I could spend all day on this. We're not this morning. Friend, verse 20, 21, it's the hardest verses in the Bible just about. It's very hard to, just 20. Paul says, and he's talking to believers that have fell under the sway of these false apostles, these people that thought they were super. He says, for you suffer, that's old English, you allow, you tolerate. If a man, one of these super apostles, listen to the language, bring you into bondage. If a man devour you, meaning they abuse you to the place that they eat everything you have up. If a man take of or from you, if a man exalt himself, if a man even smite you or hit you on the face, look at me, lies, abuse, the abuse by false apostles is unbelievable. I want to say this to you. I know who I am. I do not claim anything other than I'm just a Christian. Yes, I'm a pastor by calling and training and education, but I'm not over you. Any pastor that abuses you is disqualified up front. Lies, abuse, and number three, are you ready? Gets ugly, but you haven't seen it because it's really hard to read these chapters unless you understand Paul is defending Christianity and his apostleship. Chapter 12, please. The next chapter over, verse 20. Some of this is Old English. I'm just going to read it in the Old English. Verse 20 of chapter 12, please. Paul says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would." He's very afraid of what's going on in this church. "And that I shall be found of you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you. And that I shall bewail many." And listen to the language. You see, I said lies, abuse, and sin, which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication or immorality and lasciviousness, which means immorality out of control in all of its forms, which they have committed. My friend, Paul didn't want to boast. Paul had not boasted for 14 years, and he only mentions his experience one time. But the false apostles, who were liars, look at me, who were people that were abusing people. Let me say it to you in a simple way. I have a whole sermon on abuse from this passage. I'm not good at everything, and I can come across very overbearing. I got it. But I'd be interested to know, anybody can step forward at the end of the service and say, "What have I asked of you that I don't ask of me?" Abusive people. When I was assistant pastor, the pastor was both a liar and an abuser. Look me in the eyes. And people liked it for about 3 years. But the abuse can only go on so long, because they will literally eat you up. They want everything you have. I don't play that game. I will preach that sermon at another time. Let's look back at the text. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 again, please. I'm only going to say four things, and I'm only going to emphasize one, so I got to get there in a hurry. I said Paul did not want to brag. Why? He didn't think it would do any good. You know, when these people are saying, 1977, I look around the room, most of you weren't born. 1977, Oral Roberts, a false prophet, got up, are you listening, and said, "I saw a 700-foot Jesus." His next words out of his mouth were, "Send me money." That is the nature of lies and abuse. First of all, he wasn't a pastor. He wasn't supporting, look at me, he's not supporting a church in Cameroon. He's not supporting a ministry in Togo, West Africa. He's not trying to help ministry churches and Christians. Send me money. My question is, what do you see next year? An 800-foot Jesus? Did you have a measuring tape? Foolishness. But by the way, people like lies, they like abuse, and all of these people are involved in wickedness. All of them. It's just generations of this. Well, we come to the third point. Verse 2, please. I knew a man in Christ, meaning a Christian, above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I've said this, Paul did not want to brag. Number two, Paul had not bragged. For 14 years, he had never talked about himself being caught up to the third heaven or caught up to paradise. He had never mentioned it before or after, because Christianity is not about your experiences. Christianity is about Christ and Him crucified and coming to Christ and being saved and following Christ. It's not about you. So number three, Paul couldn't brag about his experience for many reasons. And we find it when he describes this weird thing that happened to him. Even though it happened to him, he describes it in strange ways. He says it was 14 years ago, and then he says it or speaks of it in third person, almost as if it wasn't Paul. It is Paul, but he's like, I knew a man. He didn't say I, he says, I knew a man, third person, he. But he's talking about himself, but it's something he couldn't really talk about or brag about. And then he makes this statement, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. So not only does he describe something in third person as if it wasn't about him, he says, was he alive? Was I dead? Was this physical? Was this spiritual? His answer, only God knows. He says he was in Christ, and then he uses language that he was caught up. So let me say it very, very clearly. Please hear me. Within a month, we'll be back in Matthew 17. The next text will deal with healing. I am so tired of charismatics lying about healing. Look me in the eyes. I believe God heals. But my friend, this kind of foolishness that declares in Jesus' name what Jesus has to do must be stopped. In the New Testament, look at me. There is never healing connected to music, ever. There's no emotions with healing except, and we'll come to it. You can read Matthew 17. You can read the story of the man that comes to Jesus. He says, my son, and it's a weird phrase in the King James. We'll talk about it. Is a lunatic. And he says, have mercy. I believe in healing. You don't declare anything. You don't have the right to declare anything. We come and appeal to his mercy. But friend, in this kind of an experience, Paul's not sure, almost like, was that me? Was I alive? Was I dead? Was I in the body? Was I out of the body? Was it physical? Was it spiritual? God knows, but I don't know. And he didn't cause this in a church service. This wasn't, we're going to have the glory. By the way, the word caught up, it's used twice. Look at verse 2 and look at verse 4. It's used twice. You know the word, not the Greek word, but you know it in English. He says, I was caught up into the third heaven in verse 4. Caught up into paradise. Friends, that is the word that Jesus says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Paul wasn't looking for an experience here. Let me do some religion and here's how you can have your experience. It was like God caught him up. Oh, I forgot to tell you, this is the same word used in 1 Corinthians 4. Caught up together in the clouds. It's not something you can cause. So Paul couldn't brag about it because he didn't really know how to explain it. Was I alive? Was I dead? Was I in the body? Out of the body? God knows. He does it in third person. And he simply says it was just caught up. So how's he going to teach you how to get the experience? It isn't about you. It wasn't about him. It was something that the Lord allowed him to happen to him. He was caught up. He was seized. He was snatched. He was grabbed. He was caught up into the third heaven. By the way, third heaven. The Bible usually, like we use analogy, the sun rises, sun goes down. The biblical analogy is the heavens around us. The atmosphere is the first one. The stars is the second. And beyond that's where the Lord lives, the third heaven. That's just a way of understanding. He was caught up. But the most important thing is found in verse 4. Would you read it with me, please? He says, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. That's verse 3. Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise, and listen to what he says. He heard unspeakable words, which in Greek is very much a play on words. Let me tell you exactly what it means. He heard unutterable utterances. That's the best way, because there's a rhyme on the two words. He heard things spoken that you can't speak. And then it even adds to that and says in verse 4, what else? Not lawful for a man to utter. So I want everyone to look at me. If you experienced some unbelievable experience with God, and it happened, it would happen much like this. If it happened, number one, you wouldn't talk about it. Number two, you wouldn't brag about it. Number three, you couldn't even explain it. So what do you do with it? You put it in your back pocket and you move forward. You don't starting a new wave of the Spirit. Because he's saying, I heard things there, I'm sorry, I cannot express to you. It is forbidden for me to talk about this. He wasn't trying to impress people. Now we come. Are you all ready? I'm sorry. Can I say this? I only have one point this morning. It's the fourth point. I'm going to give you all the points because it leads up. But by the way, the fourth point is your Christianity. Number one, Paul didn't want to talk about his experiences. He didn't want to brag about them. Why? He didn't think it would help anybody. Number two, he hadn't done so. In the previous 14 years and the rest of his ministry, he never mentions this experience. When he does do it, he can't really talk about it because he doesn't really understand it altogether. He knows he was caught up. He wasn't looking for something. He wasn't seeking for it. He wasn't looking for his miracle. God just caught him up. But he wasn't sure if he was alive or dead, in the body, out of the body. Didn't know how to express it. And whatever he heard and saw, he couldn't talk about. Now, verse 5, 2 Corinthians, please. And I'm speaking this morning, by the way, everyone, please. I'm speaking to people in this room or connected to our church that are going through some deep waters. And maybe some of you are afraid. I'm going to tell you this, that is exactly what the Christian life is supposed to be. You say, I don't have answers to my problems. Welcome to Christianity. Let's see what Paul wants to brag about. Verse 5. Would you please? Of such a one, talking about himself in third person, will I glory. That's the same word, brag, boast, glory, have pride in. He says, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself, I will not brag, glory, or boast. But what? In my infirmities, Paul didn't want to talk about his experiences. He hadn't talked about his experiences for the previous 14 years and the rest of his ministry. He really couldn't. And number 4, Paul could only brag or boast or find pride in his infirmities. And friends, infirmities, sadly, can be a word that's a little off-putting in modern English. But the word, the Greek word, asthenia, means weakness, illness, infirmity, or something that you lack. You know, you used to have a good body, but your body isn't where it used to be. Look at me. That is exactly what Paul says you should be bragging in. You say, Pastor, that makes no sense. Well, thank you for thinking that. I'm going to do something and we're going to read text. Everybody look at me. Do you know what Paul would brag about? He had problems. Why? Well, we'll see. Turn your same chapters. It's all in the same section. Look at chapter 10, please. Look at chapter 10 and verse 17. Unfortunately, you can miss this, but it's the two points. By the way, the only thing that's having something to brag about is this. I can brag or boast about the fact that I am weak, the fact that I have lacks, the fact that I am really nothing. Why can I boast about that? Well, what's 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 17 say? But he, and I'm going to translate it differently, he that brags, he that boasts, he that glories, he that has pride in, let him what? Brag, glory, or boast in the Lord. Now, look at chapter 11, verse 23. I'm going to walk you through Paul, what Paul brags about. So, you say, Pastor, you brag in what you don't have the ability? Let me say it this way. I remember there's two lovely, sweet, they would be perfect except for their dad, young lady sitting right over here. Your dad messes your whole life up. If you could have had a different father, think of what you could have become. That's a joke. But I remember these young ladies are somewhat perfectionistic. Can I have an amen? And when you took the nursing exam, tell me the truth, both of you thought what? Did you think you were going to pass or fail? Both of you. Can I tell you what? That's a good thing. You know, here's what our funny thing is. We want to brag about, Paul said, you know what, I'm a weak person. I have weaknesses. I have infirmities. I have lacks. I don't have all the ability. But by the way, when you know that you have weaknesses, you're going to hear it in a minute. For when I am weak, that's the same word. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because that's when Christ comes out. You see, friends, here's our problem. We want to brag about ourselves, and the Christianity is not about you. Christianity is about Him. Can I ask you a question? Are you saved here this morning? You know how I know if you're saved or not? Has there ever been a time in your life when you realized you had no hope? None. You say, I'm smart. Smarts won't do it. You say, I'm a good person. Good person won't do it. There has to come that time in you. Everything has to be Christ. So Paul says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. Because when I'm weak, He's strong. When I have no hope, He gives me hope. When I have sin, He saves me. Everything is Christ. That's what I brag about, not about experiences. But we just have whole churches full of people talking about themselves. I listened this week to three sermons by a pastor within 2 miles of here, and every single sermon was about people and how wonderful they are and had God had this for your life. And I'm like, where's Christ in this? Well, let's look at what Paul brags about. Verse 23 of chapter 11, please. 11:23. He's now talking again about... He's bragging, though he doesn't want to, and he's bragging about his weaknesses, his infirmities, his lacks. He says in verse 23, are they, those false apostles, ministers of Christ? He says, you know, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, meaning he was beaten with stripes above measure. In prison, more frequent. In deaths, danger of dying oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Meaning, they wouldn't hit you all 40 times. They would hit you 39 to make sure you didn't die. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in the ocean. In journeyings, often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in parables by my own countrymen, in parables by the heathen, or the nations, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, meaning I didn't get any sleep, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is, get the word, what's the word? Weak, infirm. Who is weak And am I not weak? Verse 30. You've already read this in chapter 12. It's in chapter 12 a couple of times. If I must needs brag or boast, I will brag or boast or glory of the things which concern what? My infirmities, my weaknesses, my lacks. Why, friend? Well, we'll get there in a moment. Look at verse 32. By the way, this is bragging. I'm an apostle. God gives me power. Zap. By the way, his power means people fall over in pews. Retarded. That's what people think. Here's Paul saying, you want to see what I glory in? Well, one day, well, let's read the text. This is one of my favorite little texts. He said, verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Ariadus, Ariadus was the name like Pharaoh or Caesar. It wasn't a first name, it was a title. Ariadus the king kept the city of, and we would say Damascus, that Damascenes, with a garrison. They surrounded the city with the military. Why? Because they wanted to apprehend old Paul. And Paul, Superman. By the way, Paul can jump buildings in a tall bound. Paul can fly. No, Paul is weak. How was his weakness manifest? Look what it says. Yeah, and through a window in a basket. Here's the mighty Apostle Paul in a basket, through a window, was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Those is what I brag about. Verse 5, chapter 12, again. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, boast, or brag, but in my infirmity. We're going to pick up here next week, but we're going to read these verses. Verse 9. He said unto me about the thorn in the flesh, my grace is what? My strength. What do we glory in? We glory in our weaknesses, because that's when his power is manifest. You don't experience his grace when you're all on your own. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, for my strength is made perfect or complete. Where, Paul? In your weakness. Here's Paul. Most gladly, therefore, I rather, what's the word? Glory, brag, or boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he just keeps saying it. I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, say it with me, then am I strong. I want you to turn your Bibles now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm done for this morning. Two verses and I'm done. It's been almost 2 years. Jennifer Kowak talked to my doctor. She told me, by the way, you don't know this, she actually told me she was going to do this and she did it. You did tell me before. She said she was going to do something bad to me when I had surgery. So I had surgery. And then I came home. And then I went back to the hospital and had a major infection. And I blame it on Jennifer because she told me she was going to do it and it happened. Can I tell you something? Have you been in a place where you can't do anything to heal yourself? That's your weakness. That's your infirmity. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Welcome to humanity. Now you're in a place where you can brag about your weakness, because then you can brag about his strength. I think most of us spend our life trying to show how strong we are. We have no strength. We have no anything. By the way, only foolish people think you're strong. Or one other kind. Don't get mad at me. Young people. When you get older, you start realizing, my health is not quite in my control like I thought it was. I thought I was in control. No. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Here's the concluding verse. I hope you like this. Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is? Look at me, friend. What are you going to brag about? Man, I had an experience. Look at me. God didn't need your dumb experience. Even if it was a true experience, so what? Paul bragged and boasted in the fact that he knew, I am nothing without Christ. And that's not just talking about getting saved, though it starts there. I am nothing without Christ. You come to Christ with no hope outside of Christ. But the rest of eternity, he keeps having to remind you. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Next week, we're going to go to the next verses. Remember, he has a vision. What's the next thing Paul has to happen to him? God has to give him a thorn in the flesh to remind him, you are weak. It's not about you. It's about him. From beginning to end. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, of Christ. If we're going to brag, we brag in that we are insufficient. He makes us sufficient. That we are weak, he makes us strong. That we are helpless, he gives us help. That we cannot save ourselves, he saves us. That we don't have peace, he gives us peace. We brag about our weaknesses and his strength. That's Christianity. Father, thank you for your word this morning. What a mess Christianity has become with people who want power and strength, when in reality we have none of that apart from you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that everything will be of you. Help us to hear this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please.
We will close with hymn number 577, Be Strong in the Lord, 577, verse 1.